anxiety hacks, proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Listen with therapist and author Kate Hudson-Hall as she chats with professionals who share with us excellent ways to calm your anxious behaviours. For more help to relieve your anxiety, check out her exceptional book, Anxiety Hacks, on Amazon.
Hello and welcome to Bulimia Sucks. I'm your host, Kate Hudson-Hall. And today we have a very special guest. And his name is Dr. Lonnie Herman. Now, Dr. Herman is a passionate individual on a mission to restore hope to those who have been told there is none. With a precise, scientifically based method, Dr. Herman uncovers the root cause of diseases and swiftly eradicates them through personalized protocols uniquely tailored to each individual. The success stories of thousands of his patients recovering from debilitating and chronic illnesses are a testament to his dedication to this cause. Dr. Herman addresses other conditions, and some include fibromyalgia, Lyme disease, neuropathy, migraines, chronic fatigue syndrome, empowering individuals to reclaim the quality of their life that they deserve. So join us as Dr. Lonnie Herman shares his expertise and insights on various different issues and anxiety and all sorts of different issues, and it's that are connected with these conditions. So together we'll explore powerful strategies to conquer some of these issues and embark on a journey of healing and transformation. So welcome, Dr. Herman. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I'll say hello to all of your followers.
That's great. Thank you so much. Oh, now let's start at the beginning. So explain to us how this type of therapy works.
Well, it really goes back to understanding what are the causes of each individual's person's condition. So if it's anxiety, for example, we've got to understand that there are parts of the brain, it's including one particular part of the brain called the amygdala, which is a fear, panic, anxiety controlling part of the brain. And what I learned in my studies in immunology and in neurology and in neurochemistry, and I've got a long list of studies, which I only named a few, what I learned through the immunology part of my postgraduate educational studies is that there's infections and there's chemicals, toxins that get into parts of the brain and make the brain malfunction. And for example, the amygdala, when the amygdala has, let's say, a bacteria that gets in it, or mold, or a candida, or maybe there's a chemical like mercury, or a dental anesthesia chemical that was put in from a dental procedure, and that chemical leaves the jaw, within a few hours, it moves up into the brain's amygdala, the brain will now feel anxious, and the person can have a rapid heart rate, the person can get sick, the person might have diarrhea, the person will not be able to sleep, they feel very stressed, they don't feel comfortable in the brain. And with my technology, what I'm able to do is find that the amygdala has, for example, a mold in it, or it has a candida, or it has a dental anesthetic. And we are able to customize protocols from the exam finding where we can actually, and this is based on biophysics research, biophysics research. Scientists in Europe back in the 1990s discovered that we can actually imprint the frequency of the infection that's in that part of the brain into water. And the water now becomes like a computer chip. It's programmed to carry the frequency of, for example, black mold that got into the brain, or the amygdala in particular. We can put the frequency of the amygdala, perfect healthy amygdala, into the water, and we can put the black mold frequency into the water, make a hybrid remedy. And what we're able to do when we give the patient the remedy, we're going to call it a quantum energized formula now. What we're able to do with that is when the frequency of that black mold that's in the amygdala imprinted into that water, when we're able to give that to the person, or the person takes it on his or her own at home, when we prepare the remedy for them, that frequency of that black mold is going to go right to that part of the brain called the amygdala. And the body itself is going to use laws of nature that are going to help the body eradicate, like cures, like the body's going to eradicate, eliminate, remove, and expel the black mold from the amygdala.
So can I just pause there a moment? So, yes. Dr. Herman, so when you give the chemical back to the body, how does
We're not
it know
giving
to
the chemical? Let me say this. We're
right,
not
giving so the mold and the mold and the water.
Right, but it's not the chemical. We're giving the frequency of that mold, or the frequency, the energy of the dental anesthetic.
And how does that come? How do they do?
In a water remedy, we have these dropper vials that we prepare.
So when they, how does it know whether to go
well,
to the amygdala?
It doesn't know. So there's something that's really interesting that was discovered in the late 1800s.
Right.
If I can go further, in homeopathy, which I was, I'll tell you, years ago, I had this scientific thing. Yeah, homeopathy for me was like, what is that? That's rubbish, right? So once I learned, and patients had come to me, you should really check out homeopathy. There are things that you can do with that that you don't realize, and that maybe, you know, because they were into it. But I was a scientific mind. I've got to run neurological assessments. I've got to be able to run labs on people. I've got to run genetic studies. I got to run antibody studies. I got to run all these different blood tests and stool tests and saliva tests. And what I began to realize with some patients over time is that the labs could not reveal anything. There was nothing wrong with them, but they still had symptoms. But with homeopathy, like cures like. So I think that it's beyond what a human being can truly understand, but there is research that has proven that particular exact frequency of that offending agent that's in the body, whether it's, let's say it's a parasite in the stomach, hookworm in the stomach, once we give it the hookworm frequency, that frequency meets that particular frequency. It's just a law of physics, a law of biophysics, a law of quantum physics. It's just the way that it works. So it doesn't know to go there. It's just that when the energy enters the body of the offending agent that's causing the symptom,
right,
the two energies meet and it obliterates the offending agent that's in the organ causing the organ disease.
And then it'll be expelled from the body.
And then the body will wash it out. So whether we have to poop it out or pee it out or sweat it out, or some people will throw things up, vomiting literally can happen. Not everybody, but sometimes it does. And I'm not saying from a believing standpoint. So it's just that sometimes, and it does happen, but I'll say it's not often. It's just that when somebody, let's just say they have bad stomach pains for years, and we find that there's black mold or parasites in the stomach that were not found on endoscopies, that were not found on any blood tests, when they take the remedies to get rid of, or the quantum energized formulas, when they take it to get rid of the black mold from the stomach, they may throw it up, because one of the ways that the body wants to get rid of something, like we can pee it out, we can poop it out, we can spit it out, is to vomit. So sometimes that's an aggravation in the healing process. But yes, the body's going to wash it out. The body's going to expel these different toxins and infections. For the first time in somebody's life, they're really able to literally clean their brain and their body out of the offending agents that cause their maladies, that cause their ailments.
Wow.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Wow.
It's incredible.
So talking about anxiety, so could you give us an example of somebody that you've helped with anxiety?
Yes, that volume went down. I'm sorry, did I?
No, we can hear you. I can hear you fine.
You hear me fine. Yes, yeah. Anxiety. And I've got a few videos, I'll say this, on my YouTube channel.
Right.
On my Instagram, on my Facebook, as well as on my website. I've got a particular page on my website about anxiety and helping people understand, once they read through the brief, but in depth, easy to understand in layman's terms, the material that we've provided on that anxiety page, the emotional section of my website. And there are videos on there, testimonial videos of people describing their recovery. They're totally reclaiming their brain, restoring their normal brain function, and getting rid of even decades of anxiety with this work. And they're off meds, and it's just incredible. So I'll give you a couple of different stories that come to mind. One patient came in here so anxious for her exam, she could barely make it in. Her hands were shaking, her rapid heart rate, and she just looked very stressed in her brain. And she was like, I woke up this way. And she didn't come in originally for anxiety. She had other systemic issues that we had to address, because she had endometriosis. Mm-hmm. She had certain issues with her body that was the main reason for the appointment. But she had woken up that day and called the clinic. I don't think I can make it in. I'm anxious. My hands are shaking. My heart's beating. I just don't know what happened. And I just woke up this way. So I had a feeling what was going on. I didn't know exactly yet, but I had an idea. So anyway, she comes in to the clinic, and when I examined her, all I could find causing the anxiety, because she couldn't sit still. She was, barely sit still. There was no way to do a 2-3-4 hour exam on her for the endometriosis. From the way that she looked when she appeared, the hands were shaking, the body was shaking. She had this internal tremor type of feeling and shaking inside, shaking outside, and the anxiety and the stress look on her face. She could not, she was unable to lie down and just be comfortable from the anxiety. It was so terrible. Yeah. And I found with her that it was my exam findings were the influenza virus got into the amygdala. That's what I found. It was the influenza virus poking at the amygdala, right, making the amygdala stressed. And when we made the remedy right here in the clinic for her, where we do, we have a laboratory in the clinic where we make these. And so that probably took like 30 minutes to make that one particular remedy that day. And when she took it, I sent her into another room, just go lay down, right? Somebody's anxious. They know they lay down, they're going to be anxious, right? It's not going to stop just because you lay down and try to find peace.
Oh yeah.
She
took
the remedy, and not even an hour passed by, she got up and she was fine. The rapid heart rate disappeared. The shaking hands disappeared. The stress look on her face was gone. She felt no more anxiety. She was at peace in the brain. It wasn't because of a GABA deficiency. It wasn't because of a serotonin deficiency. It wasn't because she needed a anxiety medication. It wasn't because of any other. It was because the influenza, somehow she picked it up, and instead of her making feel the flu-like symptoms of, right, chest pain or sweating at night or feverish or coughing or any of those, it wasn't that at all. It was the influenza that triggered it. And how do I know it was? Because when we made her, this one woman, the exact specific remedy to match the influenza that was in the amygdala that I believe I discovered in the exam, it stopped instantly. Within an hour. But if it wasn't the right assessment and we provided her that remedy, it never would have disappeared, because you got to match what's causing the problem. I'll give you another example. There is a woman who, and which I've got so many I could tell you, but there's another woman who I met. Now I'm going to go a little deeper with this description. This woman, she, for more than 20 years of her life, anxiety was a problem. Insomnia, anxiety, numb hands, tingling hands, burning hands, restless legs, couldn't sleep at night, barely. She was just, it's just the anxiety drove her like terrible. I remember examining her the first time. She was just like squirming around on the exam table. She could not sit still. She was so stressed in her brain and the pain that she felt in her body, but the pain in the brain, I mean, pain of anxiety of just never feeling, she never felt good in her own skin for over 20 years. We found with her candida affecting the amygdala. I found mercury, if I remember exactly correctly right now, without taking out a file, there was mercury that was in the frontal lobe of her brain. She had certain bacteria. She had certain viruses that were affecting the amygdala, affecting another part of the brain that controls emotions called the cingulate gyrus. So we found these different infections and toxins. She took a protocol. Her protocol, I think, was about 4 or 5 months in length. And she came back, and you'll see her in a video that's on my YouTube channel. It's on my website, on the emotional page, by the way. I have a specific emotional section of my website, where I go really deep into certain ways of how to examine a person, how to find these different, these things causing disease. But her anxiety of 20 years disappeared. Her insomnia disappeared. Her burning hands disappeared. Not the hands didn't disappear, but the burning sensation, numb sensation in the hands disappeared. It's over now. She also had hot flashes. And the interesting thing about her, she had hot flashes. And when we first evaluated her, she was so dead set on it. It was hormones. She was through menopause already, but she had hormone imbalances. She thought, we ran the hormone panel on her. There was nothing out of order. She was perfectly fine. Estrogen normal, testosterone, progesterone, everything was normal. Her hot flashes weren't caused by a hormone imbalance. What I believe, because the hot flashes stopped from the protocol, and it wasn't just luck or coincidence. She took the protocol, anxiety left hand, and all this, these symptoms disappeared. The reason why I believe that what I really feel I know, not believe, is that the hot flashes were little fever bursts the body was trying to do to kill the infections, but she couldn't keep it up. So that's common for women, hot flashes that go on for decades, even 10, 20 years after they go through menopause. It's because the body is not strong enough to carry out the fever to kill the infection. So when we get rid of those infections from the brain and the body, those symptoms stop. But I think I've got so many anxiety veterans, anxiety stopping. I mean, it's incredible work.
Amazing, amazing.
And I'll tell you, can I add one more thing? Is that people with anxiety, they were born feeling normal. They went through school normal. Then all of a sudden something happened and they just get anxious. Like, where did it come from? Maybe they picked up Epstein-Barr virus that got in their amygdala. Maybe they had a dental procedure. They were fine, but then the dental anesthetic left the tooth when it wore off and they felt their tooth again 3 hours later. But that chemical, the chemical went from the tooth into the brain and stayed there. And people don't know. And so they go to a psychiatrist, they take a medication, they go to a group, they try to talk to people, they try to read books, how to calm down, they try to meditate. We get rid of the chemical that got into that amygdala and it's over. It's over. It's over. So, but I found also that there are some kids, babies, literally anxiety. We took care of a Down syndrome little girl. She was, I think, 2 or 3 years old. She was clinging to her parents. When I mean clinging, they couldn't sleep for the whole time she was alive. This little girl holding on to the mother, holding on to the father for dear life. She was afraid of people. She couldn't, she was clinging to them. And no exaggeration. And I saw that when I first met with them, because they were coming to me for another reason for this, for their daughter with Down syndrome. And it was in the second week of her first, I think the protocol was like 2 months or so that she had to follow. But in the second week, I get an email from the mother. She is in shock, the mother. And this video, you'll see her talk about it on my channel and on my website. All the anxiety that she had, they were able to sleep at night. The little girl was able to sleep. It stopped. She was no longer clinging. She loved the parents. They love each other. I mean, she stopped clinging. It was over. So one of the things that I found, because she was born that way, it wasn't from a previous trauma like she wasn't, but some people, you know, they get molested. Unfortunately, they're evil in the world. They get molested, or somebody's been raped, or somebody had some pretty traumatic experience. They lost their pet, they lost a parent, they lost a loved one, and that creates anxiety, which I can give you a reason for that in a moment. But with this little girl, one of the things that I found, the mother had an epidural when she was giving birth, and I found the epidural chemical in the little girl's brain.
So really?
That was one of the things that was plaguing the brain, that was causing the brain to not be balanced chemically and balanced in function. So when we got rid of that, I mean, it was literally an overnight success with this little girl, with this family. So shocking. But I'll take it one more step, is that what I found with my studies into, I took psychiatry, I took psychology, I took neurochemistry, I took a lot of, I've been involved in understanding the brain for years. Right. And I see it from another point of view. So when what I found is that there are people who do have these previous traumatic experiences, like, for example, you know, a young boy or a young girl was molested for, you know, one time or for months or years even. It's terrible. It can be terrible out there in the world. And so I found a way, which I won't get into the greatest detail now, but I found a way, I discovered a way and created a series of strategies where I can actually find literally their emotional tie to that situation that occurred, that a terrible
what
experience.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, let's just say it's like...
What specific feelings they're having, you mean?
Let's say that Sue has anxiety for years and she's got headaches and she's got stomach pain, she's got high blood pressure. And then when I speak with Sue, I find out, I'm just making up a name, this hypothetical, okay? So when I speak with Sue, I find that she tells me that she was molested when she was 5 years old, and it was her uncle, and he did it for a long time, and the mother never believed her, and she was really stressed, and it turned out to be a horrible situation. This is not, it's not uncommon. I mean, it's terrible.
Let me tell you about it.
I've heard it more than once, I'll tell you that. So not about Sue or her uncle, but there's different people that can do horrible things to children. So what I discovered is that just the person seeing an image of, let's say, Sue seeing her uncle in a picture, mm-hmm. or maybe it's a video, or maybe there's just an audio recording. I like to have all three for my exam process. But when I'm able to present the image, the video, the audio recording to Sue, for example, I can find in my method of analysis that she became stressed. Now, whether she's crying or whether she's like, oh, or she doesn't have to show anything that's obvious to a person who's just observing. We created a certain, a series of doing with kinesiology. There's a way to check to see that the whole body became weakened by Sue seeing the uncle, for example, without him being
graph of the uncle. Yeah.
So I see that stress, and then I find in order to stop that stress, oh, she had a parasite in the stomach, and she's got mercury in the brain, and she's got black mold in the amygdala, and the influenza virus and Epstein-Barr virus in the amygdala, and she takes those remedies, and then it just disappears. So she's erasing literally, of course she remembers, but she's erasing the traumatic experience that deeply, there's something that researchers have discovered, is that a lot of our DNA is viral. We have 35% of our DNA are viral, just like a breast cancer gene. You've heard that mm-hmm. before, breast cancer genes.
Yeah.
Well, they're viral genes. So think of a viral gene that was dormant let's say Epstein-Barr virus or herpes virus was in the person's body, their genetic makeup. Okay. And so let's say it was dormant, but now Sue's uncle does some evil deed to her and traumatizes her terribly. That emotional experience that she went through can trigger that dormant genetically linked Epstein-Barr virus that's located in the brain to turn on. So now the Epstein-Barr is activated against the brain. And so now when we find through that traumatic experience and the type of exam that it did, we found the Epstein-Barr that was linked to the uncle, you know, doing something very terrible to poor little Sue. When we get rid of that link, that A, the emotional trauma stops, but she also, there's like a forgiveness that's happened for the, that occurs for that, for her to the uncle. Yeah. Wow. Does that make sense? Cause I'm I'm trying to be direct, but not, it can take me a long time to describe how I figure this out and how I do it, but I'm trying to give you some highlights of it. Hopefully it made sense what I just described.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Herman, if somebody came to you that had an eating disorder, so you would treat them the same way. So yes. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So I believe, I know, say I believe, but I know because every person's different, right? We have to treat the, we have to assess the person as an individual, not as, for example, with your group, people with bulimia or people with anxiety. We don't just think of it's an anxiety patient, it's a bulimic patient. We've got to think of what in their history, what medical procedures have they had done, what surgeries, chemicals from surgeries get in the brain and stay there that can make that brain, for example, they had, let's say their tonsils, they had taken out, they were put to sleep and had their tonsils removed because they had sore throats all the time and ear infections. Let's go with this scenario. They had sore throats and ear infections growing up, antibiotic after, and it never stopped. And so the doctor says, well, we got to put your, you know, your child tells the parent, we got to put your child to sleep. We're going to have to take out their tonsils and that will stop this whole sore throat and ear infection situation. So they put the child to sleep, but the whole time the strep bacteria and or staph and or whatever else was infecting the tonsils and the throat and the ears, it does, it's not removed from the body when they pull the tonsils out. They just remove a mechanism that lets us know the infections are there. Right. So now when the infection is also moving from the throat into the sinus cavity, it's moving into the brain, it's moving into the stomach, it's moving to the heart, right? On the electrical conductor of the heart that can make a rapid heart rate happen and goes to the stomach. And now it's changing the way that the brain is functioning. And now they making depression, making anxiety, making somebody not at ease, right? Not sleeping well at night, having strange thoughts, not being low self-esteem can happen from it. So now they put the child to sleep and now the chemicals, the sedative, the anesthetic, the fentanyl, the antibiotics, all these chemicals that are pumped into the person, the child's body, those chemicals don't just leave the body. It's like a tattoo ink is put in the skin. The tattoo ink stays there forever. It never leaves. It might fade a little bit. So when people say, well, we have detox systems, Dr. Herman, we got a liver, we got kidneys, we got lymph, really? How do you know if it's working at 100%? How do you know if your systems are working even at 60%? You don't know. When have you ever had it assessed? Not with a regular blood test. Now the chemicals that they put into the child to sedate them and to get them high and to put them to sleep so they don't know they're being cut open and have their tonsils out, those chemicals don't just leave the brain and the body so quickly. And they don't leave ever. Fading tattoo over the years, but not gone. Just because you don't get a tattoo ink every week or every month or every year put into that same tattoo area, the chemicals, some of it will be detoxed, but some of it stays in the brain. So what are those chemicals doing to the brain function and the production of serotonin and the production of dopamine and the production of GABA and other brain chemicals? It changes the whole course of action, changes the whole function of the brain. So now the child has anxiety and the child has with or without bulimia, or they have bulimia. I think that bulimia would be anxiety too. But everybody's an individual. So when I assess a person, I find out their history. I find out their medical treatments. I find out so many things about them without getting into every specific detail right now. And I find that
you do take a huge case study, don't you?
Whole huge case study. It's very detailed in a different way than what they're used to having done or asked upon them when they're, you know, consulting with a physician. And so now they start taking the remedies to get rid of stomach infections, to get rid of the surgical chemicals from the brain, to get rid of the strep and the staph and whatever infections were in the stomach and in the esophagus maybe, and in their tonsils maybe, and on the back of their tongue maybe, and in the pylorus and in the intestines and all these areas that infections and chemicals get drawn into and stay, as well as in the brain. So when we start getting rid of those infections and chemicals that made the disease happen from the brain, from the organs, they start to settle down and they start to have a different viewpoint on life. It's just incredible to see a transformation occur. literally an emotional and physical transformation that occurs for people with this work. And even if, again, they were traumatized, maybe there was somebody who hurt them, or maybe they just had a low self-esteem, or maybe they wanted to look like Barbie on TV and they thought it was the right thing to do because they're twisted by, I'm sorry, let me take that word back, because their brain has been somewhat manipulated by the propaganda on TV, yes, by the magazine. So I take that word back. Don't let me twist it. I really take that word back. But I'm just saying that when there's manipulation of the human brain, and it's powerful what these governments can do and powerful what these companies can do to manipulate the person's brain to think in the way that they want people to think, it really can be a challenge for a human, a woman or a man, to be young or older, to be able to understand that they're okay, right? So, and furthermore, so with bulimia, but also even people with overweight conditions, if they're eating very clean organic food, which is important, there are certain things that happen in the body, because there are people who can try to lose weight, but they can't, right? So they're just like overweight and they don't understand why, and they're eating healthy and they try high intensity training, but they can't shed a pound. So with those people, when we find that the liver is infected, which helps to burn fat, it's a fat burner organ. So when the liver's infected, when the thyroid's infected, when tissues are a certain, and when we clear those, all of a sudden fat, it just starts coming out the body. They got to eat a clean diet and do exercise, but we start getting the body to change its metabolism with this work. So, but back to the bulimia, I really feel that people who, whether they're traumatized or not by somebody, right, molesting or so on, but there's so much information through our cell phones and through the, you know, computer and through the television and through magazines and billboards and just everything that goes on. Sometimes people with bulimia, as well as anxiety, they're just, the brain, it's perceiving the world in the wrong way. And when we can get people to, when we can use certain exam steps and get rid of these infections and chemicals, the body will just settle down and we can put a stop to the disorder.
Well, there's very high statistics that prove that people that have bulimia have also been sexually abused sometimes.
Sure. And that's what I'm just saying, that it, yeah, you're right. And you, this is what you do. So you probably know a little bit more about that, chronic illness than I do, in that respect, that it's what you focus on more, right? And your group focuses on more, but I'm just bringing up another point of view, is that sometimes people are traumatized by other things that they've seen in movies, and right? So it can be.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know the percentage of people with bulimia who've been sexually traumatized. It's possible. There is a possibility that they weren't sexually traumatized by some major offender, whether it was a loved one or not. It's just that sometimes people have the brain can change because of other things. They had a surgery and the chemical got in the brain and tripped the brain. And now the brain is making them, and it's not from being sexually abused, right? So there are things that can happen to people that I just, for me personally, I've got to ask those questions. Like you're saying, that there was sexual abuse or some type of emotional abuse, not just sexual abuse, physical or emotional. Mm-hmm. But it's also a possibility that it's coming from something else, but that never happened to them in their life. That never happened. And it's still driving the bulimic disorder, anxiety disorder, and there was no abuse at all. They could have had I met with people, parents bringing their, you know, teenage daughter in here, who's just like anxious and hiding from people and low self-esteem and throwing up and all these, but they're a loving family. Nobody's ever touched anybody wrong. There's not, at least that's what I hear. I don't know, because I'm not in the room in the house watching with cameras and seeing it, right? So, but I'm taking that when the daughter tells me, no, Dr. Herman, nobody's ever touched me wrong. I've never been abused. My parents never hit me. Nobody's ever approached me. It never happened. Never had a bad boyfriend. Never had a bad uncle. Nobody ever did anything. So then we've got to realize that there's another, we've got to now take another route of figuring out why. Yeah.
It's just fascinating. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
Rapid health restoration system. Yes. Everybody must look into it and find out more and see how it can help them. And so, Dr. Herman, so how can people find you? So you're on Instagram. What's your handle?
On Instagram, it's at Dr. for Dr. Dr. Herman Talks. Should have just called my name, but I've used that when I started Instagram. So anyway, Dr. Dr. Herman Talks, TALKS. We've got on Facebook, my name, Dr. Dr. Lonnie, L-O-N-N-I-E, Dr. Lonnie Herman, and which is the same as my website, drlonnieherman.com. And I really recommend that they go to the emotional section on the website and just really get a whole different point of view, like I've described here.
Yeah.
And I'll just say more, you know, when you and I got to meet each other last time, we had a very long. It was like more than an hour conversation just to get to know each other and for you to understand this work. And thank you for having me on here today. I really appreciate it because I love helping people get well when they thought that there was no way that they can turn their life around, and we do it for them. But since you're in the UK, right? I love the beautiful accent, but we're going to be going out there to do this work.
Are you?
Close to Portugal, we're going to be mid next year, 2024. So for people over there, for people across the pond,
right,
in your area, it's going to be very close to, my work will be very close to them. They won't have to travel too far, too many hours. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So to Portugal?
Portugal, Malta. Right at the coast of Portugal, there's an island, a beautiful, beautiful.
Malta. You're going to Malta, aren't you?
It's called Madeira.
Oh, Madeira, that's it, yeah. Us English people know about where Madeira is. It's
gorgeous. We just want to be the paradise vacation dock. That's it.
Yeah, I think permanent.
I think I'll take out that domain. Oh, yeah, permanent.
Lovely.
That domain, paradise vacation dock, might be it, so we'll see.
I love it. Well, Dr. Herman, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this just valuable, insightful, fascinating information. So it would be great, I think, if we can all go and find out more information about how it can help us with whatever issues we may be having at this particular time.
Yeah, I love it. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your followers listening in. And I just want to leave them with this message, if I could. Be an advocate for yourself. Don't just trust because a physician who you trust, who's a top, quote unquote, self-proclaimed, even sometimes top doctor in their field, just because they work for a major university or just because they work for a major hospital, and they mean well, and they may be very nice, and they may have a lot of, you know, diplomas and a lot of initials next to their name. Don't stop looking for answers. Don't stop trying to figure it out, because what I did over years, I just kept looking for, how can I deliver to a person? How can I help them overcome these different conditions? So don't stop being an advocate for yourself, and take what I'm saying, whether you want to call me now and get started, or you just listen to this again and listen to it again, and just begin to understand that there are causes in you, in your brain, in your body, that are making you live with the anxiety, to live with the bulimia. And when you start to clean yourself out from these chemicals and infections that made it happen, you can turn your life around. Look at the case studies I put up on my website. Look at it on YouTube. It's all about helping you. The number one thing that drives us in my clinic is helping people overcome their problem. That's what matters the most. And the sooner you're better, the happier we're all going to be. It's better for you, it's better for me, and better for everybody else out there in the world, because we can stop the, you know, you have a better chance. There's not a cure. There's not way. We're not even treating the disease. Just find the causes, help you rid it, and let's see your life come back to you. So I really appreciate you having me on today. I appreciate the interview, and there's a passion of ours. We love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fabulous. Very, very interesting. So thank you. And thank you to everybody for listening. And before we go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, or wherever you listen, so you never miss an episode. So thank you so much. And I look forward to chatting with you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Anxiety Hacks, the podcast. If you've been affected by anything discussed in this presentation and would like further information, please go to katehudson-hall.com. That's katehudson-hall.com.